I said nothing. What was she leading up to? In other words, you ought to take another trip, and that's what I've come to suggest. I held my breath. I am in charge of selecting 15 people from Holland to take a trip to Czechoslovakia. They'll be gone 4 weeks. There'll be students and professors and people in communications, and we'd like someone from the churches. Would you come? Was this God's hand? Was this the next door opening in his plan for me? I decided to put the question before him once again in terms of money. I knew I didn't have funds for such a trip. If you want me to go, Lord, I said in a flash prayer beneath my breath, you will have to supply the means. Thanks, I said aloud, but I could never afford such a trip. I'm sorry. I began to pack away the pictures of Warsaw I had brought with me. I could feel the lady staring at me. Well, she said finally, we can work that out. I looked up. What do you mean? About the expenses. For you there will be no charge. And so began my second trip behind the Iron Curtain. It was much like my visit to Poland, except that the group was smaller, and I had a lot more trouble getting off by myself. I kept wondering what it was God wanted me to learn in Czechoslovakia. And toward the end of the 4 weeks, I found the answer. Everywhere we had been told about the religious freedom that people enjoyed under communism. Here in Czechoslovakia, our guide told us, there was even a group of scholars paid by the state who had just finished a new translation of the Bible and were even now working on a Bible dictionary. I would very much like to visit these men, I said. So that afternoon I was taken to a large office building in the heart of Prague. It was the Interchurch Center, the headquarters for all Protestant churches in Czechoslovakia. My first impression was astonishment at the size of the physical facilities that the church was able to maintain. I was led into a suite of offices where scholarly-looking gentlemen in black coats sat behind heavy tomes and piles of paper. These were the men, I was told, who had worked on the new translation. I was very impressed. But gradually some amusing facts began to emerge. I asked if I might see a copy of the new translation, and was shown a bulky, much-fingered manuscript. "Oh, the translation has not been published yet," I asked. "Well, no," said one of the scholars. His face seemed sad. "We've had it ready since the war, but—" He glanced at the tour director and let his sentence drift off. "What about the Bible dictionary? Is that ready yet?" "Almost. But what good will it do to have a dictionary of the Bible and no Bible? Are there earlier translations?" The scholar looked again at the tour director as if trying to decide how much he could say. "No," he finally blurted out. "No, it's very difficult. Very difficult to find Bibles here nowadays."